Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Happy birthday, Cowie. Yesterday, you turned 197 years old, and I just want to say you look great. Nearly two centuries of the faithfulness of God demonstrated right here in his people, and so grateful just to be part of these moments, generation after generation, life after life, changed by Jesus. For some, you see that video, maybe you've been part of generations of families that have been part of, maybe you see some of the folks in those older pictures and you say, you know what, that was an aunt or a grandparent. Maybe some of you see that video and you're reminded that God intersected your life in a moment of brokenness, maybe marriages that have been restored. For many that I look at in this room, it is a reminder of the faithfulness of God as many of you have stepped into these baptismal waters and declared your faith in Jesus. And for all of us, it is a reminder of the faithfulness of our great God. And, you know, when I see that video, and Kelly did just an incredible job. By the way, happy birthday, Kelly. She's not 197, but today is her birthday. Happy birthday. And, you know, as we think about the faithfulness of God through the generations and we see these moments, I'm reminded that the same faithful God who sustained this church in the past is the same faithful God that is leading us into the future. And as we move forward, as we've heard so often, right, the mission is still the same, right? We're to be obedient followers of Jesus Christ on mission for the glory of his name, right? Following him in obedience, that's what we are called individually as in a church to do. And here's what I understand. Obedience is not always easy. Do you know that? Obedience is not always easy. God says, trust me, follow me, obey me. But it's not always convenient. It's not always comfortable. It's difficult along the journey. Some things are pretty simple to understand. We read God's word and we understand his calling on our lives, but it can be very difficult to walk in those places. Some things in life are simple. We understand them, but they're hard to do. I look around, I see a few golfers in the room. I've never really gotten into that. It seems pretty simple, right? Hit the ball in the hole, right? Simple. And some of you understand it's not easy, right? As I've seen videos of grown men breaking their golf clubs and none of you guys, right? But it, you know, we see those kind of moments, right? I can remember, you know, we always find like furniture, and if you're shopping for like cheap furniture, you can go buy some discounted furniture. And what I don't understand is like when you pay, the less you pay for furniture, the more money they can afford to put lots of pieces in there, right? And so you get that furniture, it opens up out of a box, and it should be easy, right? There's directions. It should be easy, but somehow at the end of the day, we've got parts left over. We see those kind of moments. Parenting, that's another thing. Like from the outside looking in, I used to think, that's easy, right? You'd look at other people, right? And you'd think, you know what? My kids would never be like that, right? And then there you are, right? And all of a sudden, you're in the checkout line, and you've got a three-year-old terrorist that's going nuts, and you're trying to navigate those moments, and you're eating every word of that when you were looking at somebody else thinking, this will never happen to me, right? And it's all because they want a candy bar for supper, right? I don't know. But obedience is the same way. It's clear what God calls us to do, but doing it, that's the hard part. And then there's these moments when we take steps of obedience, and instead of things getting better, it seems like everything falls apart, right? It seems like everything is getting worse, right? We take a step of obedience and we say, hey, I'm going to start reading my Bible. And suddenly the stress of work and the demands that are on you and the overwhelming places that you are in, it just seems to overwhelm. You say, you know what? I'm going to give up my time. I'm going to go on mission. I'm going to do these things. And all of a sudden, right, everything's falling apart. You say, yes, Lord. And it seems like everything's working against you. Some of you feel that instead of getting better, it seems like everything is getting worse. And this is where Moses is going to find himself today. Last week, we had this incredible moment. What's in your hand? We had this great call. And Moses, we're going to see him respond and really begin to walk in obedience. And when he does, everything's falling apart. Instead of Pharaoh just hearing these things and letting God's people go, Pharaoh's holding on even tighter. Instead of the burdens that we've been reading about for the last several weeks, instead of those burdens getting lighter, the burdens are getting heavier. And Moses, instead of celebration, right, he is worn out. He is tired in those moments. He's wondering what's going on. He's questioning everything, including God's call on his life, including the things that God's called him to do. Does it sound familiar to anybody this morning? Does it resonate in these moments? We're gonna do our best to walk through the last part of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5 today. We're going to read two verses together. If you will, stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy and inspired, infallible word. We're going to read verses 22 and 23 of chapter 5. We're going to go back and walk through a bunch of this. We'll kind of summarize a few places for the sake of time. But what I want us to see, I want us to read this moment as Moses cries out to God. Verse 22, we read this. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people." And I want you to hear the frustration in Moses' voice. And he says, "You have not delivered your people at all." And then altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we're grateful. Lord, we're thankful for your promises. Lord, we've sung today, and God, just been reminded of your faithfulness. Lord, we've sung and been reminded, Lord, we've witnessed it. We've seen it in our own lives. We've read it in the scriptures. But if we're honest, Lord, there's moments that we just get weary on the journey. God, it seems like we're doing all we can and life gets heavy, Lord. We see a moment like this in Moses' life, and God, we pray you take it. Lord, we pray that you would stir our hearts to obedience, Lord. We pray that you would remind us, God, that we're not home yet and that your faithfulness extends to all generations. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. We need them this morning, God. And I pray, Lord, you would speak to your people and send us out on mission for the glory of your name, Lord. And if there's someone here, God, maybe they're not just weary, God, but they're separated from you because of sin. God, they've never responded to your grace and your mercy and received the gift of salvation, received Jesus in their life. Lord, we pray that this morning would be a day of repentance and faith, Lord, where they would turn from their sin and trust in you and their lives would forever be changed. And we, God, we praise you, we love you, we thank you. And we ask this in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, we read this text, and I'm going to give you kind of a summary of this kind of message in a sentence, and you'll see it on the screen if you have the Cowie app and you're following along in the notes section there. You'll see your first two fill in the blanks in this sentence, but this is kind of the sermon in a nutshell, right? That God calls us to trust him and walk in obedience, knowing that in this broken world, burdens often come before blessings. You know, as we open chapter 4 and pick up where we left off last week, beginning in verse 18, we're going to see the beginning of obedience. Point number one, right? We see the beginning of obedience. Moses is in this moment where he has surrendered to God's call. We've seen this kind of cycle of things that have been taking place. We've seen God encounter him, and he says, "Who am I?" And God says, "Doesn't really matter who you are. It's about who I am." And so we see these moments where he says, you know, "I can't speak, I can't talk, I can't do." He's got all these things that are going through his mind, and he is giving these excuses to God. And by the end of the chapter, or where we reached last week, we're reminded that these excuses are just kind of masks for this one thing that's just reality, like Moses just doesn't want to go. And so finally, Moses has surrendered to this call. He's moving forward. He's got his staff in his hand. It's just this great moment. His family's with him. But before he steps foot in Egypt, he's going to have to deal with some things, right? He's going to have to connect in these places that God is going to engage with him. And I'm reminded as I read this text that God desires obedience, not just in the public eye, but in our private life. I want you to just soak that in. God desires obedience, not just where people can see. You know, somebody on the way out last week, a sweet family is on the way out, and a man's wife told me, they said, "Hey, I want you to know something." And she just bragged on her husband for a minute, and she said, "This guy, what you all see of him, what you see on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and when you're gathered, that's who he is. That's who he is in every moment of his life. What is it that those who are closest to us and see us, what is it that they would say about us?" And God desires this obedience. And before Moses is going to be able to be this public leader, he's going to have to be a private follower. Verse 18 picks up with a little bit of this story. Moses departed and returned to Jethro. So he goes to his father-in-law and he shares what's going on. And he says, "Let me go," we read. And he says, "that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive." And Jethro says to Moses, "Go in peace." And so Moses has this call on his life and he's honoring his father-in-law, he's honoring the head of his household, he's honoring his boss, right? He's a shepherd, he's working for him, he shows this respect to him. But here's what we got to know, right? Moses' ultimate allegiance is to God. Moses' ultimate allegiance is to him. And sometimes following Jesus is going to mean making decisions in our life that other people are going to look at and not understand. Right? If we're following Jesus and walking in obedience, there are things that you're going to do that lost people are going to look at and say, "Man, I don't know. I don't understand why you're doing that. Why would you give your vacation and go to El Salvador? Why would you give your vacation and go to Honduras? Why would you work and raise money and sell baked goods and do all those things? Why would you do that when you could be on the beach? Why would you do certain things?" Right? We're going to see those things, right? And Jesus would say this in Luke 14, verse 26. He would say, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, we understand that when we think of the word hate and the way we use that, that Jesus is not telling us that I'm supposed to hate my wife. He tells me later that I'm to love my wife and I'm to live sacrificially for my wife. And I'm not to hate my own life. I'm not in the sense of the way that sometimes we use that. But what we see in this is this picture that our allegiance to Jesus is more than anything else, that it comes first, right? It doesn't mean that we're disrespectful. It doesn't mean any of that. And some of that can be tough. Some of you young people in this room, you may feel some of that, right? Maybe God's called you to step out in faith and your family doesn't understand. Maybe he's calling some of you to go on mission for the glory of his name. Maybe some of you are being called like this young man that says, "Hey, I'm called to 6 weeks on the mission field," or maybe it might be years on a mission field. Maybe some of you are experiencing that kind of call and there are people around you, there are people maybe in your family that are saying, "Hey, I don't understand why you would be willing to do those things." And so we honor others, but our ultimate allegiance is to Jesus. Moses, he honors his father-in-law, but God has called him and he must go, right? Philip Ryken, who's a commentator, says it this way. He says, "Even the people that we love most should not prevent us from doing what God has called us to do." This is a great truth that we see in here. Verse 19, the Lord says to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead." So I think we see a picture of God just engaging with Moses. I think these were fears Moses had. He's thinking about taking his family. I think God just meets him in that moment, reminds him of these truths. And so Moses in verse 20 takes his wife and his sons. He didn't just head out by himself. He didn't just say, like, he's all in this moment. He mounts him on a donkey, returns to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. I can't run by that without thinking about it for a second. So, like, he has this staff. It's his shepherd's stick. It's what he was using. God asks him, we looked at this last week. He said, "What's in your hand?" Moses said, "It's a stick," right? And he throws it down. He begins to do miracles. He gives him this incredible work through it. And this staff, it probably reminded Moses of all kinds of things, right? Moses, when he held that staff before and he was out in the wilderness, he was just looking after sheep. He probably was reminded, like, God had purpose for his life. His mom saw it. He had these places that he was going to serve. And he was in Pharaoh's house. He was a prince of Egypt. And now He's out here and he's shepherding sheep. His life seems menial. Maybe he's reminded of his past and he's reminded of his problems, right? Things that got him in those moments, right? The murder that he committed, the things that were going on. And Moses has probably held that staff and thought, God's finished with me. And there was moments when it reminded him of his problems. And then all of a sudden, God says, I'm going to use that staff. And it reminded him of his potential, that God wasn't finished with him yet, that God was going to use him. And greater than any of that, I believe it reminded him of the purpose and the presence and the power of his great God. And so now, instead of this just being a sheep stick, he says, it is the rod of God, right? The staff of God is in his hand. What's in your hand? You know, this past week, we really examined that question. What's in your hand? And there were business owners that said, you know what? I believe God maybe called me to start a Bible study in my business on a certain day of the week. We've had sports teams who have began devotions because there's something that is in our folks' hands. There's a thing that God has placed in their life that can be used for his glory. What's in your hand? So he says, take what's in your hand. He says, take this staff. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 21, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders, right? All these incredible miracles, these wonders which I've put in your power, right? Throw it down, turns into a snake, pick it up, it's back into a staff, reaches into his coat, leprous hand, right? Comes out back in. It's whole. He sees this kind of moment. He says, do these things. But he says, here's what you need to understand. He said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let the people go. So he tells him what to do. Do these wonders. But he says, when you do them, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance in Pharaoh's heart. God tells Moses, we're going to see this over the next few weeks. We'll see these pictures of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. We're going to see Pharaoh. We're going to see there's places where Scripture's going to say that Pharaoh hardened his heart. We're going to see places in the Scripture where it says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And then we're going to see Scriptures where it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And we're going to explore a little bit of that. We see this text referred to in Romans 9. There's other pieces that are there. But for the purpose of this text, and what I believe God wants us to see is that Pharaoh is going to harden his heart. We're going to see as we walk through this, at first Pharaoh is going to harden his heart. God is going to judicially harden his heart. He's going to continue to bring that in because God not only is going to deliver these Israelites, but his glory is going to be made known. And the point of this, what God wants Moses to understand is that opposition is coming. You're going to go. You're going to perform these signs. You're going to do something. Opposition is coming. But I'm still in control. I'm still with you. Do not be fearful in those moments. He said, this is what's going to happen. He goes on in verse 22, says, you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, now this is the first time Israel's referred to as God's firstborn. So verse 23 says, so I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. So God points ahead to this final plague, to the Passover. We'll see that in the coming weeks. God's going ahead and he's giving these pictures of what's going to happen, and he points to this. Moses is on his way. Moses begins to move forward. He's headed toward Egypt. Things are going well. As he's heading to do this, there's a place in the Scripture that we just don't expect. I mean, it's just one of these places that when you read it, and honestly, you're reading through this, chapter 4, like Moses is called, chapter 5, he's going, there's opposition, and then there's this little pull back the scenes for a minute that Moses lets us into, and it's just something we don't expect, right? God's going to stop him in his tracks and nearly put him to death. Look at verse 24 to 26. Maybe some of the most complicated, really structurally, when we look at the Hebrew Bible, the wording of this passage, there's a lot of ink that you can find about this passage and things about it and what did it mean and who who met him and sought to put him to death. There's question about who that is. Was that Moses? Was that Gershom? There's places that people kind of point back and forth to this. And in reality, when we break this down, when we look at this in the original language, it's a very difficult passage. And we really don't have a full understanding of this. I'm going to give you what I believe is what's happening in these moments. So it comes about, it says, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah, that's Moses' wife, took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. Now we read that, and some of you are scratching your head, and you're like, wait, what just happened, right? Moses is heading to Egypt. He's on his way to obey God, and suddenly his life is on the line, and we're like, wait just a minute, right? It seemed like everything was going the right direction, and what I believe we see in this text, right, chapter 4 has been all about obedience and the authority of God. We see that God has authority over Egypt, that he has authority over all things. Moses is wrestling, is he going to surrender to that authority in his life? And then Moses begins to do what seems like on the outside in his public life, he is walking in obedience, but I believe that before Moses could lead others in obedience, that he needed to obey in his own house. He needed to get his own house in order. What we understand from the scriptures in Genesis 17, you can read in verses 10 to maybe 14 or so, we're going to see that circumcision was a sign of the covenant, right? It was God's covenant sign with his people. And the scripture is going to tell us that those male children that are not circumcised, that they're going to be cut off from God's covenant people. And Moses has neglected to do this. Moses has not been obedient in his life. And the question that we've got to ask, the question that we really have to lean into here is, what's God wanting to tell us, and why had Moses not circumcised his son when he understood that that was part of the covenant, right? That he is a Hebrew. And this is something that his mother would have taught him, that he would have known. And we don't understand everything about why. And the scripture doesn't tell us, but here's what I believe, right? I believe Zipporah may have opposed this. I believe what we see is an angry Zipporah in these moments. And what we see, I believe, in an effort maybe to keep the peace, that Moses has made a decision. Maybe Zipporah did not want this to happen, that she did not want to do this. And remember, she's from Midian. There's some different cultures, different things that are going on in this. And I believe Moses, in order to keep the peace, has gotten in a place where he has compromised his obedience to God. I believe Moses has not done what God has called him to do. And no matter what's going on in here, and again, we only know so much about this, one thing we can say for absolute sure, right, that God takes obedience serious, that he expects obedience out of his children. And Moses' calling, it did not exempt him from obedience. Fact is, it made his obedience even more necessary, right? It was serious about obedience. And before Moses is going to be able to go to Israel and tell God's covenant people that Yahweh has sent him and that he's going to deliver them, Moses needed to obey in his own household. Because here's what I understand. Public ministry without private obedience leads to disaster. And the passage is a warning, right? It's a warning. It serves as a reminder to us. And I believe this with all my heart, right? God is more concerned about who you are in private. This is a fill in the blank in your notes, but God is more concerned about who you are in private than who you appear to be in public. You know, the scripture says that man looks on the outside, right? But God looks at the heart, right? And maybe there's some of us in this room that we walk in and we look pretty, like, you know, we're dressed up, we're ready for church. I thank God that my wife lays my clothes out and helps me match. I can't even match my clothes. Like, I'm pitiful, right, in those things, right? But I can look like I have it all going together. You guys would think I know blue and blue matches and it goes with brown, but if it wasn't for her, I'd be in a mess, right? And so we understand that. We come in and we look one way, but maybe there's compromise in areas of our life that nobody else can see. Places where we know God's calling us to obedience, places where the Holy Spirit has been convicting our hearts that we need to deal with sin in our life, that we need to deal with things, but maybe we've let fear, maybe we've compromised because we just want to have peace, and we've just kind of let our house get out of order because we're submitting to fear of man rather than obedience to God. And so in this text, we see the beginning of obedience, but then Moses gets things going, right? God spares him, and then we see the blessing of obedience. Look at this. He moves forward. He meets Aaron. God's prepared him. We see all this in this text, but then in verse 29, it says, him and Aaron, Moses and Aaron, went. They assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. So Aaron's being his mouthpiece. He's doing just as God had said. Then he performed the signs, snake, stick, leprous, all the things, right? We're seeing this moment. And the people, right, when they see this, the children, God's children, the children of Israel, they see this and they are excited. They're excited. There's something beautiful about just being seen. Like when you're somewhere and somebody looks at you and knows you're there. They see your pain and they come alongside you. That's what Jesus did as he encountered people. That's what we're to do as we encounter people. And these people, God has sent Moses to them. And the people believed, the scripture says in verse 31, they saw the signs. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed low and worshiped. Man, what an incredible moment. Man, it reminds me of us as God's people as we go and proclaim the good news of Jesus and the gospel and remind people that God sees them in their brokenness and their need, and he's provided a way for them to be restored, to be forgiven of their sins, right? We think about these moments. God has seen you. It's incredible when people are seen. The people believed when they heard the Lord was concerned. They bow and they worship. What a moment. What an incredible place. Revival is breaking out. They're excited. God's seen them. He's come to rescue them. He sent Moses. They fall to their knees, right? The praise. Like when we think about the faithfulness of God, when we sing the promises song, or we sing I've witnessed it, or we even watch that video, right? Our hearts are just stirred. God, you are so faithful. And maybe some of us, we've gone like Moses. We've been from reluctant followers. We've been kind of just half in, and as God's worked in us, we've continued to conform to his image. We've continued to deal with things and begin to walk in obedience. And there's these moments where we're so excited and we're walking in obedience and we're stepping into these moments and we think, you know what? Everything, like here's what we think. Here's what I think sometimes. I know the scripture doesn't point to this, but here's what we think. We believe that favor with God, I'm being obedient to God. I'm doing what God says I'm supposed to do. I'm walking in obedience. I got my household in order. I've got rid of this stuff I shouldn't have. I'm listening to the right things. I'm doing the right things. I've finally kind of started walking in these things. I'm reading my Bible. Everything is going to be good. We think favor with God means favors from God, and all of our life's going to be rosy and looking great. But here's what we forget, right? Obedience often, and obedience really always brings resistance from the enemy. Moses stands before Pharaoh. He's looking, expecting victory, right? But Pharaoh fights back. Instead of freedom, the suffering increases. Instead of good, it feels like the burdens get worse, and Moses is crushed under this weight. You've been there, some of you. You've stepped out in faith, and you feel like the world's just closing in. The enemy, it feels like he's coming at you from all sides. You listen, life has gotten harder rather than easier, but Moses is going to learn something, and I believe we need to be reminded that the path of following Jesus is not an easy path, but it is the right way. It is the way that is worth everything. It is a way that through that journey home, listen, we're going to go through hard moments. We're going to experience difficulty. We're going to experience suffering. We're going to experience persecution. The scripture says all of you who desire to live godly lives and to walk faithfully in Christ Jesus will face persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name, for his name's sake, for our great God. He says, listen, we're going to do that. If you live for Jesus, you will face opposition, right? You will go through these things, but following him is worth every moment. Verse 1, they go to Pharaoh. Right afterwards, Moses and Aaron come, and they say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go. Right? So he comes, he says, this is what God's told him, let my people go. And he's really got this low bar kind of thing at first. He says, let them go so they can celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness, right? Just a 3 days journey. That's what he comes and he asks for. And he says, please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Moses and Aaron, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, no way. Absolutely not. These two old guys come in and Pharaoh thinks he's in charge. He's the one that's making all the rules. In his mind, he commands armies. He has slaves. And now these two old men come in and say, hey, God sent us here. You need to let these people do it. And he's like, ain't no way. I'm not doing any of those things. And instead of getting better, Pharaoh makes it worse. Instead of it getting lighter, it gets heavier. Pharaoh says, hey, as you read chapter 5, we don't have time to read them all, but as you read chapter 5, Pharaoh says, hey, you got time to worship? You got time to do that? He says, I'll increase your workload. He said, you know, we've been so kind to you while you've been slaves and making bricks and doing all these things. We've provided your straw, but now, since you got all this time to do all that, things are about to get worse. You can go find your own straw. You can go gather it up, but here's what we're expecting of you. You better go out and get your own straw and deal with all your own things, but I'm expecting the same quotas. I'm expecting it to work, and when it's not coming to together. They are beating them. The taskmasters are beating them. The Israelite foreman, they go to Pharaoh. They're begging him for relief. And he says, listen, you people are lazy. You just need to suck it up and get it done. You need to get back to work. You need to pick up your bootstraps. You need to get after it. And so who do the people get upset with? Moses, right? Moses has come. Yahweh sent me and I'm going to go to Pharaoh and it's all going, you know. And Moses is obviously thinking this is going to be different, right? And so you said God sent you to help us, but you haven't helped us. Things are already bad. Now they're terrible. Thanks a lot, Moses. Appreciate it, bro. So nice. Thanks for coming. Yeah. And Moses is at his breaking point. Verse 22 and 23, he turns to God, cries out to God. There's this lament. He cries out to God. He says this. He's overwhelmed. He's weary. He's frustrated. I believe in these moments, he's feeling defeated. And next week, chapter 6 has an answer to some of that, so come back. But in verse 22 and 23, he says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, why have you brought harm to the people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. What he says, in other words, is God, I've been doing all I know I'm supposed to do. God, I've been trying to do everything you've told me to do. I'm obeying, I'm doing these things, and now things are worse than ever. Some of you feel this, right? You're saying, you know, I stepped out on faith. I'm one of the people that stepped into that baptismal water last year. And I'm going to tell you something. I expected my life to have no more trouble. And it's honestly, it seems like everything is coming at me. You know, the doors are kind of being shut in my face. Sometimes we think, okay, well, this must not be the will of God because there's a door that's closing or there's something that's difficult. Galatians 6, we read this. Don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season, we'll reap. If we don't quit, right? We sometimes give in too easy and we lay down. And God's revealed to us his plan and his word. And listen, instead of, we pray, we begin to serve him. And instead of a light load, the weight gets heavier. And some of you are saying, you know what? I came in, I'm trying to trust God, but I'm weary. If I'm honest, I'm just weary. My life just feels like it's spinning out of control. And like Moses, we struggle to trust God when obedience has led to hardship instead of immediate blessing. Life has gotten harder. Jesus would give us words in John 16, 33. I know some of you that it's your favorite verse in all the scripture. And Jesus says, listen, on the journey home, it ain't going to be easy. He said, follow me. He said, it's not promising a life that's apart from suffering. Fact is, he said, in this world, he said, you will have tribulation. In this world, he says, you're going to face trouble. You're going to face tribulation. But he said, you can have courage. He said, take courage, be of good cheer. In different translations, he says, I have overcome this world. Listen, we look and we wrestle in the midst of difficult times, but we have an overcoming Savior. And listen, God, he's never promised that following him would be easy, but he's promised us that in the midst of this journey that he will be with us. And he's promised that there's no burden that's going to be wasted. 2 Corinthians 4, he says, this momentary light affliction, he said, it's working a far exceeding weight of glory in the eternal. And therefore, we do not lose heart. He said, we don't give up. He says, listen, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. No burden is wasting. No suffering is unseen. God sees you. He hears. He knows. And no obedience is wasted. No obedience is in vain. And maybe God, you know, sometimes we wrestle and we say, God, I want to understand everything. And we look and we say, God, well, why is this happening? And why is this happening? And God, do you really love me? Do you really see me? And listen, this morning, if you've wondered that question, does God love me? Does he see me? Listen, I want to encourage you to look to the cross and be reminded of God's great love. And he is not calling us to understand everything, but he is calling us to trust him in everything, to keep walking, to be obedient when life is hard, to be obedient in the moments where things are difficult, to be obedient when it seems like the bottom is falling out, and just to trust him. Listen, follower of Christ, this morning, if it seems weary in your life, he is not finished. The end is not here. One day, we're going to be appraising people that are going to gather in the promised land. We're going to enjoy eternity with Jesus. The things that we see, and that's what 2 Corinthians 4 says, the things that we see, they're temporary. The things that are not seen, they're eternal. We don't lose heart. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and we live for the glory of his name. And one day all things are going to be made new. My call for us followers of Jesus, right, is that you would trust him even when the road gets hard. Maybe there's somebody in this room. Maybe there's somebody that would say, you know what? It's not just weariness for me. There's never been a time that I've repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus. You've never trusted him. You've tried to follow God in your own terms. You've tried to say, I'm going to do these things. Maybe I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to try to do these things that somehow is going to earn favor with God. And it seems like the harder I try, the worse things get. Listen, what we understand, right, is that God has created us. He's made us for fellowship with him. Our sin has separated us from a holy God. And Jesus did what we could never do. We could never live good enough. We could never be good enough. But God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin became sin in our place. Jesus entered the midst of the brokenness. He lived a sinless life. He took our place on a cross, and he died in our place. He became the perfect sacrifice for sin. He died. He was buried. We're going to celebrate the resurrection here in a few weeks big. And I want to remind you that he was placed in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he burst out of that grave. Death has been defeated. The tomb is empty. The throne is occupied. The king is ruling. He is reigning. And one day he's coming back, and he's coming back for his people. He's coming back for those who have repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in him. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that we read in the New Testament, right? That Jesus, that through repentance and faith in him, turning from your sin and not trusting in your own works, not trusting in anything you could do, but trusting in Jesus and believing that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was for you, that it was in your place, right? That when that happens, there's a miracle that takes place. You become new. Jesus makes you new. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, that he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Listen, not just forgiven, but transformed and given the Holy Spirit. Not just that God will be with us, but that he will live in us and he will empower us and strengthen us in the power of his Spirit to live on mission for the glory of his name and to have hope and peace and good news in the midst of bad news and trust in the midst of hard times, that he'll complete what he started, that he who began a good work in you will see it through and the completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And so we don't grow weary. We walk through this life. We keep our eyes fixed on him and we trust that one day God is going to make all things new and we'll be together with him. And maybe he's calling you today to trust him completely. Maybe not just for help in the moments that you're in, but for salvation. And if that's you, will you trust him? Listen, if you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, don't delay. I compel you, I implore you, call on his name, confess your need to him, and come in surrender. The Bible says whoever would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Maybe you've got questions. We'd love to connect with you. You could write those on a connect card. You could write those. You could turn those into somebody. We'd love to meet with you. Whatever your need, listen, we treasure those opportunities. Maybe you just need to pray. This altar is open. You know, kind of a theme verse has been from Matthew 11, come all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus says, man, if your load is heavy, if you're weary in these moments, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, and in me you'll find rest. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come this morning and find rest. But whatever God's calling you, don't wait. And this whole thing is about obedience. If God's speaking to you, be obedient to him today. I'm going to pray and we're going to worship our great God. Lord, we're thankful for your grace and your mercy. God, undeserving. God, sinners like me, Lord. God, you've saved us. You've rescued us. God, you've given us your Spirit. God, we're so thankful for your grace, your mercy. God, you didn't give us what we did deserve. God, you gave us what we didn't. Lord, we're so thankful. And God, we pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that's, God, just weary this morning, God, we pray you'd just remind them of your faithfulness. God, that they can trust you in the hard times and that you'll be with them. God, if there's someone here, God, they know they don't have a relationship with you. God, I pray today they would repent and believe. God, that's what you call us to do. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus died in our place. He was placed in a tomb and he burst forth in victory 3 days later. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father and he offers to us eternal life for any who would repent and believe your gospel, Lord. God, I pray there'd be someone this morning, God, that you would draw on the power of your Spirit, God, that they might repent and believe, God, that you might save them Fill them with your Spirit and send them out on mission for the glory of your name, God. God, as we worship, as we pray, meet us where we're at, God. Lord, I pray there's some people here, God, in the power of your Spirit. God, you let them know you see them right here in this moment. God, you see their suffering. You see their pain. You see their obedience. God, you've not forgotten them. God, meet us where we're at. We love you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Will you stand with me this morning as we worship? This altar is open. Come and pray.